Good morning, church. It's been a couple weeks since I've been able to tell you that I love you, and I'm so incredibly thankful for you. I missed you last week. I was in Missouri on a speaking engagement. I appreciate Matt Mead filling in for me. I know he did a fantastic job. I was thinking about going on speaking engagements and thinking back a few months ago. Holly wasn't with me on this particular occasion, which is relevant because that's typically when I make decisions that I wouldn't make if she was there saying, don't do that. You know, so I was driving through the panhandle and there was construction, as there typically is, and we came to a complete standstill. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather be moving in a way that takes me out of the way than I would be at a complete standstill. So I was waiting in construction and I looked at my GPS, and in the defense of the GPS, it didn't actually tell me to take this alternative route. It just said that it was possible, you know? It had that little thin blue line, and it had the little arrow that pointed to it. It said, similar ETA, and I like that, similar ETA. And I thought, okay, I can go this way, and I'll get there at a similar time. And then I looked ahead, and there were other people going on this particular side road, and they were going that way, which, again, is typically how bad stories start. You know, everybody else was doing it, and so I saw them going on this side road, and I thought, I can do that too. Now, honestly, to say that it was a side road would be kind of generous. It wasn't really a road as much as it was a dirt path. The ruts on the road were kind of like the picture on the screen. You know, there were deep ruts on the road, but I only knew that after I got on there, and then I realized, oh, they probably all have four-wheel drive, and I don't. And I knew almost immediately it was a bad decision and I probably shouldn't have gone this way. But that's the thing about driving in the ruts, is that once you're in them, it's really hard to deviate from that path, isn't it? Once you've made that decision and you've gone that direction, you can keep moving forward. But when you realize, I probably don't even need to be on this road, it's really hard to get out of the rut and turn around and make another decision and get on a different path. And maybe you felt that way in your life. Chances are you have. Chances are we all have. Maybe you're kind of in one of those moments in your life right now where you kind of look at the decisions that you've made and you realize I'm kind of stuck in a rut. And I'm probably doing things that I probably shouldn't be doing. I'm probably living in a way that I shouldn't be living. In fact, this whole year we've been talking about reflecting on our life and being renewed, allowing the Spirit of God to renew us and revive us, and reflecting on where am I? And maybe just as importantly, where am I headed? What's my trajectory? What's the path that I'm on? And when we're sort of stuck in a rut, and we say that as a saying, we kind of get apathetic, don't we? And we get lazy, we get bored, and we're just going through the motions. We're just doing what we've always been doing. This morning, I want to talk about how do you avoid getting in the rut in the first place? That would be best. But once you're in a rut and you've been making decisions that you probably shouldn't be making and you realize you need to get out of them, how do you get out of that rut? And I think Psalm 1 is a fantastic place to start. So if you have your Bible, Psalm 1 and verse 1, and let's think about it in the context of changing our life, or rather even avoiding getting in those ruts in the first place. Here's what the psalmist says. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. In Hebrew, that word is ashrei, blessed. It's very similar to the way Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? With the Beatitudes. And that word means happy or fortunate. And again, this year is all about reflecting on our life and this self-reflection and introspection, examining our life. And that's a good question to begin with, isn't it? Is my life blessed? Am I happy? Am I fortunate? Am I living the good life? The good life. Now, some of us realize that we're not. We look at our life and we realize I'm not the blessed man. I don't have the good life. There's so much broken and wrong in my life, and many of those things are my own doing. But some of us, because we haven't really stopped to examine ourselves, we might not have the good life, but yet we think we do. We think this is the good life. I'm comfortable, you know, things are this way, or I'm doing what everyone else is doing. I seem to have a similar life to other people. But then when we really listen to what God says, we realize, oh, maybe having what everyone else has and doing what everyone else is doing is not actually the blessed life. Maybe that's not the definition of the good life, the blessed life. Listen to what the psalmist says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Think about those words, wicked and sinners and scoffers. That's the thing about ruts in the road, isn't it? How did those ruts get there? Well, probably because it rained, but also because other people have been driving that path. Haven't they? And they've worn a path into the dirt. And then that's how I got on that road to start with, is I was following the crowd. I was doing what other people were doing. And so often that's how we get our lives into the shape that it's in. That's how we get on a path that we shouldn't be on, is we're just following what everybody else is doing. And the psalmist begins, and this is a great introduction to all of the psalms, and maybe even to all of Scripture, to say, if you want the good life, if you want the blessed life, if you want the fortunate life, if you want the best possible life, then you cannot walk in the counsel of the wicked. You cannot stand in the way of the sinners. You can't sit in the seat of scoffers. In fact, think about those words, walking and standing and sitting. It's all the things that we do, isn't it? It's your routine. It's your life. And if you don't want to have what everyone else has, you can't do what everyone else does. Isn't that the way we are, though? We do what everyone else does, and yet we expect our life to somehow not be what everyone else's life is. We want a better life. We want the good life. We want the blessed life. We want the happy life. We want the fortunate life. We want God's blessings on our life. And yet, we find ourselves following the pattern of the people in front of us and say, well, they're doing it. They're saying it. They're going there. They're chasing this. They're pursuing this. This is the way they walk. This is the way they talk. This is the way they sit. This is the way they live. And yet we're surprised when we end up with the same things that they end up with. If you want a blessed life, the good life, then what you say and what you listen to and how you live has got to be different. It's got to be different. You can't just follow the crowd. You can't go along with what other people are doing. In fact, I heard someone talking about addiction one time. And he said, if you want to change your life, you have to change your playground and your playmates, right? If you want to change your life, you have to change your playground, where you hang out, and your playmates, who you're hanging out with. And that's true not just for chemical addictions, but for all of us. Because we all get stuck in a rut. And yet, even when we're stuck in the rut, we don't change who we're hanging out with and where we're hanging out. For some of us, that may be the friends that we're listening to. People at school or people at work. It may be our peers. It may be a relationship that you know, I really shouldn't be in this relationship. This relationship is not bringing me closer to Jesus. It's actually pushing me further and further away from Him. And you know that it's an unhealthy, toxic relationship, and it's influencing you in ways that it shouldn't. But for others, it may just be what you're reading online. This way of sinners, this seed of scoffers, This may be what we're reading on social media. It may be the YouTube channels that you're watching. It may be the cable news that you're consuming. And you just keep listening to the counsel of the wicked. And you just keep standing in the way of sinners. You keep sitting in the seat of scoffers. And it is affecting your life. If you look at your life and you say, you know, I want something better. I don't want to keep living this way. I don't want to keep making these decisions. I don't want to keep going down this path. I want to break out of this. Then you have to change your inputs, who you're listening to, who you're allowing to disciple you, teach you, and shape you. I'm afraid that we are choosing very poor instructors for ourselves. We're all disciples, aren't we? Every person in the world is a disciple. The question is, to whom are you a disciple? Who are you following? Who is teaching you? Who is shaping you? Who is discipling you? Some of us are discipled by YouTube. Some of us are discipled by cable news. Some of us are discipled by blogs and things we read online. Some of us are just discipled by the people around us who are teaching us and instructing us, and that's who we're listening to. And if we want to break out of the cycles that we get into, the ruts that we get into, we have to change who we're spending time with and where we're spending time and who we're listening to. He says this, but his, the blessed person, the person with the ashrei life, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I love that word, delight. He delights in the law. He delights in the Torah. Now, that word Torah, law, when we think about law, we just think about rules and regulations, and that's part of it. The law of God is partly rules and regulations, but maybe a better translation is instruction. Instruction. The Torah for the Israelites, for the Jewish people, was the instruction of God. It's God saying, here's the path to walk on. Here's the life to live. And the psalmist says, if you want the blessed life, if you want the fortunate life, if you want the happy life, then you will delight in the law of the Lord. You will delight in God saying to you, here's how to live. Here's the path to walk on. And I know that for many of us, we desire that, right? We desire to delight in the law of the Lord, but we don't necessarily, do we? We desire to have that kind of obedient life, that kind of faithful life, that kind of life that says, I love to read scripture. I love to sing these songs. I love this life. We want that, but the truth is we're delighting in other things. And for a lot of us, listening to scripture, listening to the instruction of the Lord is drudgery, isn't it? I mean, if we're real honest, right? And we say, you know, I want to be a daily Bible reader. I want to listen to good podcasts through the week. I want to listen to sermons through the week. I want to sit in Bible studies through the week. I want to get together with other Christians and study scripture. But it's kind of boring and it's kind of a drudgery. We want to delight in the Lord. We want to delight in his ways and in his instructions, but we don't. So how do we get to the point where it's our delight, where we love it, where it's better than food, when it's better than treasure? How do we get to that point? Listen to that next phrase. On his law, he meditates day and night. It takes discipline, doesn't it? It takes discipline. And that's the way it is with anything. If you want to get to the point where you don't just desire it, you delight in it, it takes discipline. It takes discipline for a healthy desire to become a delight. I don't know about you, but I look at people that are out running. I see people out running and I think, oh, I would like to like that. I want to want that, but I don't. I can't even really wrap my mind around the person that says, I love to run. I'm like, okay, well, good for you. I wish that. I want to want that, but I don't. If I run, it's a drudgery. I hate it. I see people eating vegetables, and I think, you like that? Like you really like that? I mean, I'll eat it, but only when I am trying to set a good example for my kids. I hate it. I'll do it, but I don't delight in it. I mean, maybe you look at people that love to read. They just consume books, and you're like, I want to get there. Like, I want to want that. I want to delight in that. You desire it, but you don't delight in it. It takes discipline for a healthy desire to become a delight. If you want to get to the point where you delight in the instructions of the Lord, you delight in being taught by him, this is the path to walk on. Get out of that rut. Stop living that way. Stop making those decisions. Here's how you walk a better path. If you want to get to the point where you delight in the law of the Lord, then it takes discipline. You've got to meditate on it day and night. The person who loves to run only loves to run now that they've disciplined themselves towards it. The person who loves to eat healthy food, they love it now. They probably didn't love it in the beginning, but they love it now because of the discipline. They've done it day and night. If you want to get to the point where you delight in the law of the Lord, it takes discipline. Meditate on it day and night. It takes discipline for your desires, your healthy desires, to become your delights. Look at verse 3. He, the person with the ashrei life who meditates on the law day and night, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. See, healthy and fruitful lives are a product, a result of the proximity that that life has to the life-giving water, right? To have a healthy and fruitful life, it's about how close are you to the living water. If you're a long way from living water, you won't have a healthy and fruitful life. But if you have close proximity to the living water, you'll have a healthy and fruitful life. And that's why the person with the blessed life has a blessed life. Because he's like a tree planted by the water. And because of his proximity to the life-giving water, he has life in him. He has fruit in its season. Now the truth is, and we got to read this as Christians, the truth is the only one who's really, truly ever lived this out fully and ultimately is who? Jesus. He's the only one who's fully lived this out. And that's the blessing for us as Christians is that we have access to that living water through him. We've all fallen short of this. We've all gotten into a rut. And if we want to not be in a rut and we want to be planted like a tree close to the streams of living water, then we come to Jesus who gives us that access. I think about things that he says in the Gospel of John. John 4 and verse 14, Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He says this in John 7. He says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. See, we've all been disconnected from the living water. We've been thirsty. And maybe you find yourself at a point in your life right now where you're thirsty. And you haven't been drinking daily from the living water. And Jesus gives us that. By faith in him, we can be like trees planted by streams of water so that we can, in due season, we will bear fruit. Because of the Holy Spirit who's within us, Jesus gives us access to the Holy Spirit, and in him we can have life. See, it's still about proximity to the water. It's about you being planted close to the Lord and staying in him and abiding in him and trusting in him and disciplining yourself to listen to him. There's so many voices in the world, aren't there? I mean, more than any time in the history of humanity, you have so much noise to filter out, don't you? We have so much noise from every direction. And we listen to the wicked, and we listen to the sinner, and we listen to the scoffer, and sometimes we don't even know it's the voice of the wicked, the voice of the sinner, the voice of the scoffer, because we're not familiar enough with the voice of the Lord to even discern what voice I shouldn't listen to. You want to be discerning and know what to filter out, what to listen to? Then discipline yourself to listen to the Lord. Come to him, and he will give you living water. Back to Psalm 1, the wicked are not so,
They're not like trees planted by the streams of water, but they're like chaff that the wind drives away. Now, what is chaff? What is chaff? Here's what AI came up with. I like this. It's kind of like this dry husk that's around a seed of grain. And it's just the waste, right? You get the seed of grain out. That's the healthy part, the good part, the part you keep. And then the rest that's just left over, it just blows away. Think about the contrast there. It says, if you listen to the Lord and the Lord's instructions, and you meditate on the Lord's instructions night and day, then you'll be like a healthy tree planted by streams of water, and you'll be healthy and bearing fruit in season. But if you don't, if you walk in the counsel of the wicked, if you stand in the way of sinners, if you sit in the seat of scoffers, then you'll be like that. You'll be like chaff. You'll be like the dry husk that just blows away in the wind. You've got to decide. Who do you want to be? And who you will be is determined in large part by who are you listening to? Who's shaping you? Who's teaching you? Who's instructing you? If you allow the Lord to shape you and teach you and instruct you, you'll be like a healthy, living tree. But if you don't, you'll be like dead waste that just blows away in the wind. Verse 5, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, knowing that this is the destiny of staying in the rut, the destiny of continuing on the path that we know I shouldn't be on this path, but we're too far down the road. We're too apathetic. We don't know how to break out. We don't know how to turn around. We don't know how to get out of it. And we just stay on the road. Over and over and over again, Scripture warns us, this is the destiny of the wicked. Death. You'll perish. Now, the bad news is, that's me. That's you. We've all been this, haven't we? We've all been the sinners. We've all been the wicked. None of us have been righteous. None of us have meditated on the law of God day and night, have we? I mean, can you really look at your whole life and sum it up and say, every moment of every day, I've meditated on the law of God so that I can walk in His ways, and I haven't listened to, I haven't walked in, I haven't sat with, I haven't stood in the way of the wicked and the sinner and the scoffer? None of us can honestly say that, can we? We've all been unrighteous. We've all been sinners. We've all gotten stuck in the rut. And that's why our only hope is in Jesus. Our only hope is in the righteousness that comes by faith in Him. The salvation that is by grace, that He saves us. He's the one who gets us out of the rut. You want to get out of the rut? You can't do it on your own. You can't. Only Jesus can get you out of the rut. But then He gives you the Holy Spirit so you don't keep getting stuck in the rut. There's a video that went around on the internet. Let's watch this. I don't know if you've seen this or not. Kind of funny. You may have seen this. Kind of viral. There you go. And as I saw that video get passed around on the internet, a lot of people said, this is a look at my life. You know, Jesus pulls us out of the rut, and then I run a few feet, and then boom, back in the rut. Right? It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that we don't keep doing this over and over and over again. He loves you. And yes, you've messed up. And yes, the only salvation is by faith in Jesus. That's the only way to be righteous, is put your faith in Him. Let Him drag you up out of the rut. And yes, you're going to continue to make mistakes, but it shouldn't be this over and over and over and over again. He wants us to begin to change, to be sanctified, to begin to live a life where falling back into the rut happens less often. We could say it like this. If we read this scripture through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of the faith in Jesus, we could say Jesus rescues us and gives us the Spirit to keep us on the right path. But again, if we listen to this psalm, we must, what? Reject the way of the wicked. We have to actively, intentionally reject the way of the wicked and say, I won't walk in the counsel of the wicked. I won't stand in the way of sinners. I won't sit in the seat of scoffers. I'm going to be discerning on who I listen to and who I allow to shape me and teach me and instruct me and disciple me. We have to, number two, delight in the word of Christ. In the word of Christ. Yes, we have the Torah. We have the instructions of God in the Old Testament. But now we have a fuller and more complete word, don't we? The word of Christ. Let it dwell in you richly. I will delight in his word. Delight in it. Love it. Cherish it. Let it dwell in you richly. What does that mean, the word of Christ? Who he is and what he has done and who I am because of what he has done and what I should do because of who I am and who he is and what he has done, right? Let me say all that again. The word of Christ, who he is, what he has done, who I am, and what I should do in response to what he has done. Delight in it. And number three, meditate on that word day and night. Meditate on it. The Psalms can help us do that. All of Scripture can help us do that, but especially poetry. I mean, that's why things are written in poetry, so that they can be sung and so they can be thought about, meditated on. When we talk about meditation, we're not talking about Eastern mysticism where the goal is to empty your mind and don't think about anything. It's actually the opposite. It's to set your mind on this and mull it over in your head over and over and over again. Who he is and what he's done and who you are because of what he's done and how you should live because of who you are based on what he has done. Think about it night and day. And to go back to what we said before, it takes discipline. It takes discipline for a healthy desire to become a delight. Most of us think about that and we think, I wish I delighted in the word of Christ. But I delight in baseball, or I delight in football, or I delight in my family, or I delight in my truck, or I delight in whatever, more than the word of Christ. How do I get to the point where I don't just desire to delight in the word of Christ, I actually delight in the word of Christ? Discipline yourself for godliness. Meditate on it day and night. And the more you mull it over in your mind, the more you think about who he is, and what he has done, and who you are because of what he's done, and how you're to live because of who you are, and what he's done, and who he is, the more, I guarantee, the more you will delight in it. So let's do that this week. Let's discipline ourselves for godliness. Let's meditate on the word of Christ so that it will be our delight. So that we won't keep going back to the rut over and over and over again. He wants to not only save us, but to change us. He doesn't want that to be our constant situation of jumping back in the hole over and over and over again. He wants something better for you in eternity, but right now. He wants something better for you right now. And it starts. By meditating on the word of Christ. And maybe somebody here this morning, you're ready to respond to that word of Christ by being baptized into Jesus, by responding to his grace and mercy and letting him pull you up out of the rut. If we can help you to put on Jesus in baptism, if we can pray for you, our shepherds meet in the prayer room every Sunday morning, and there's nothing in the world they'd rather do than visit with you and pray with you, or you can come forward now. Together we stand, sing this song.